Showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Hope everyone is staying warm out there. Hope everyone is bundled up a little bit, being careful out in this winter wonderland we call Knoxville, Tennessee. It's November 12th. I should not have woke up to find my front yard blanketed in snow. The white death. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. But we made it, though. I got my milk and bread, made my milk sandwiches. You know, that's what I've been told to do. You go to that grocery store, buy all the milk and bread you can when the snow is coming. What are you supposed to do with that? Well, I guess make milk sandwiches. I don't know. I don't know what you're supposed to really do with it, though. But we're surviving here. We're surviving and thriving. Snow's coming out again as we speak right now a little bit. This is dumb. I'm mad, guys, if you can't tell.
I'm upset. Word to Drake, man.
Word to Drake. I was about to say, I'm upset. In the words of Drake and Socrates, I'm upset.
Look at you.
I'm upset.
Two birds, one stone.
Exactly. But, guys, we're in here in the warm, truly hard seltzer studios of Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio for another edition of Overtime on your Tuesday evening. Tanner Carson, Malcolm Harris, Justin Feist on the ones and twos, and we got Stetson Marlin in the house as well. Stetson Marlin, who made a trip up to Kroger Field, froze his tail off a little bit, but got to see the dub.
Yes, sir.
Can you recap your trip to Lexington for us, please?
Well, got the tickets Tuesday or Thursday, so I didn't know I was going to the game until then, but we tried Popeyes out on the way up there. Give the sandwich a 9 out of 10.
Yes, sir.
All four of us have now had the Popeyes chicken sandwich, by the way. We all give it rave reviews.
Mm-hmm. And then got to the game. It was cold, but they granted the visitors there with the Alabama-LSU game there on the big board, so we got to watch some of that while they were warming up. Until the last couple minutes, of course, so we didn't get to see the exciting ending. But anyway, the game itself, moodness in the Tennessee section to start the game off was not very good, just obviously considering they were able to run it down our throats. Even though they knew we were running the ball, or even though we knew they were running the ball, they continued to just run it down their throats. But then the mood changed, obviously, after halftime, once we were able to drive down the field with JG a couple times, put some points up on the board and take that lead. And then that defensive stop was right in front of the Tennessee section, so that was an awesome sequence of events, especially considering after that, JG, out of everybody, was the one that scrambled for the first down to secure the game for us. So that was just the great ending to a great night.
But can you tell us what happened after, though? You stopped at a gas station about 15 miles outside of Lexington. You ran into somebody.
Yeah, we ran into Coach Pruitt at the gas station, at Love's Gas Station. It's the weirdest experience I can say I've ever had in a public bathroom area. I went out of Lexington on purpose to stay away from, first off, Kentucky fans, second off, to stay away from the traffic. And my brother walks into the bathroom, walks straight out, and he comes up to me. He was like, dude, Coach Pruitt's in the bathroom. I was like, what? Just thinking, like, why in the world would Coach Pruitt be in the bathroom at a Love's after the game, not riding with the team? I don't know why he doesn't ride with the team, but I'm not here to question him. But anyway, after that, I'm just sitting there like, wondering why in the world he's there. But so I just stand there just like pacing back and forth just to see what he's doing. And so he goes over to the coffee area, fills the coffee up, tells the state trooper that's with him. He's like, man, this coffee is as good as this win. Straight up word for word. I started cracking up. So did my brother. And then goes over, check out, gets a Skull dip can with his coffee, heads out. But it was just so weird, and it capped off a weird night. But it was a great trip. I enjoyed it.
I'm glad you had a great time. I'm glad you had that experience of confirming to us that Jeremy Pruitt is, in fact, a Skull man.
I'm glad my brother took a picture of it, because I knew if I texted y'all and my other friends that we saw Pruitt there at the gas station, they wouldn't believe me. But my brother, thank God, took a picture of it just to make sure that we weren't lying. But it was hilarious for sure. Didn't expect it at all.
Hey, just a fantastic story to tell. That's a fantastic story to tell in general right there. But, guys, we're again, Stetson, glad you survived Kroger Field. Glad you got back to the great state of Tennessee without any black lung.
I had a couple people talk trash to me before going into the stadium, too, which was interesting.
Why do Kentucky fans think they were confident?
I don't know.
I have no clue.
So we parked a decent bit off campus just so we didn't pay too much. Yeah. But we were walking there, and we walked past the student dorms. A couple of students like hopped out of an Uber or whatever and came up to us, and they were like, oh, are you Tennessee fans? And I was like, I mean, obviously, I'm sitting in an orange. I'm sitting in this shirt.
No, we just got done picking up trash off the side of the road. We just got done off our shift at the construction site.
I was literally wearing what I'm wearing right now.
Just got done deer hunting.
But I was like, I mean, obviously, I'm a Tennessee fan. He was like, well, isn't it a great day to be a Tennessee fan? I was like, yeah, it always is. And he's like, psych, said no one ever. And I was like,
oh, he got you.
I was like, hey, I was like, y'all's best team last year couldn't even beat our 5-7 team. So I don't know why you're talking trash. Can't even beat us in basketball. And then he didn't reply. So, like,
of course he didn't.
What an idiot.
We had a couple people say something to us when we walked into the stadium. And I was like, okay. We're about to win here, and we're going to talk trash afterwards, so it's fine.
And that's exactly what happened.
Video of that guy hitting the Kentucky fan.
Oh, my gosh.
I figured out who that was, by the way. So
yeah, he's a walk-on. He was a former walk-on.
A former walk-on for the football team, actually. Clay Keaton is his name. I think he played locally here at Grace Christian.
Yeah, he did.
And, yeah, so that dumb Kentucky fan not only stepped up to a Tennessee fan that was much bigger than he was I stepped up to a former football player.
Yeah,
very smart decision making.
My friend was the one that filmed that. I graduated high school with him, so it was. I saw it on a Snapchat the night before, and I was gonna text him to send it to like Barstool and Old Row and all that, but he already sent it to him. So that was great to wake up to and just see like a couple hundred retweets and likes and all that. So it was hilarious.
A good weekend for Stetson and his friends. How about that? How about that?
That
man?
Is so you won't forget this weekend.
No,
for
it
sure.
was so much fun.
I don't think a lot of us are going to for a little bit, even though it is yet another win over Kentucky. Same old, but again, we talked all day about it yesterday. All the different storylines about how it happened. Oh, still feel so good about from, you know, defensive performance in the second half. The actual numbers, by the way. So I think it's like over the last month, this Tennessee defense has allowed 21 points in the second half. Now, you've technically allowed 28, but one of those was against Alabama on the JG's fumble.
So defensively.
So that's not defense.
That's not, yeah.
So, like, actual defense in the second half, 21 total points.
And the UAB game, to even think, that was just a garbage time touchdown with their basically third string in there. So,
yeah.
14 points in reality. I guess you can't take away that point, but still very impressive.
Still looks great on paper. Still looks fantastic on paper. Well, Stetson, you were at the game again, and what was your initial reaction and some Tennessee fans around you to when JG did come out in the second half? How were you feeling at that moment?
There was obviously mixed reviews.
Mm-hmm.
People were mad. Some people were like, maybe this will like spark something in the offense. I don't know. I mean, because we look kind of stale. Maurer, I mean, he made some throws, but he also didn't make some throws. And I understand why Pruitt started JG out there. And, I mean, after that first drive, nobody was doubting why he started JG out there. So that was a feeling in the stadium, especially the people around us, because we were near the family section. So obviously everybody was confident that he could go out there and get us a win, and he did. So
Six man once again. He's been embracing that as well. I'll set some one last time. I'll go to you here because I want you to weigh in on what we talked about a little bit yesterday. Bye week, team's been off of practice, obviously, for the last few days as the team uses this bye week to its advantage to recuperate a little bit because you are bruised and banged up all over the place, as any team would be right now as you head into the middle of November. But with an extra week to think about it, and thinking about being the coaching staff, thinking about this decision, Stetson, do you think, in your opinion, JG has earned the starting role back, or do you think we should keep doing the six-man role, him coming off the bench and contributing?
That's a tough question. That's like asking if Lou Will should start.
Wow.
No, I don't know.
No, that's a great comparison.
I'm joking, but that really is tough because, I mean, we've seen JG come into games and even after the second or third quarter and do good. I mean, obviously the Bama game was a different thing, but still he's done it the last couple games and has performed really well. So I don't know. I feel like you got to ride with Maurer again and then I would keep
at least maybe the first series, you would think, because what I'm thinking and what I said yesterday, who knows if JG even, now he's not ever going to say he doesn't want to be the starter as a competitor, as a Power 5 football player, but I said yesterday I'm thinking maybe he's gotten his mentality into more of a team first type of mindset,
yeah,
to where he's thinking, okay, if me coming off the bench, me having some time to settle down, come in and get a rhythm on offense, if that helps the team more, then just let me come off the bench.
When I think of it more as a wrinkle too, I mean, you're as Missouri in next week prepares, they're going to have to prepare for the possibility of Tennessee rolling out three, maybe even four quarterbacks, just depending on who does what during the game.
I don't think you see a Shroud again.
Yeah, I don't either. But as far as a set with JG in there, you could roll with him. Maurer obviously brings different stuff to the set. I mean, he has a great arm. He can run the ball. I mean, probably better than JG. And then obviously with Jawan. So I think doing all that, having all those guys possibly play in the Vandy and Missouri game could definitely throw some wrinkles for those two teams that we have left on the schedule.
For sure. And I mean, you got 2 weeks to really figure out that attack when it comes to what you're going to do on offense. I say either way you try to roll out there, if you're the offense, you're still feeling – you're feeling pretty good about whoever's back there.
Yeah.
Especially if it keeps going the way that it's going with, you know, Maurer trying to grow as the season progresses as a true freshman. And if he still can't, you know, get the job done, as long as he's not shooting you in the foot too bad, you know, JG can come off the bench and continue this redemption story is what it really is.
Well, like we've seen with our wide receivers are experienced. Quez, Juwan Jennings, I mean, or and Palmer, every 50-50 ball we threw their way on Saturday, they caught. So, I mean, as a quarterback, even if you don't make the best of the throw, you could trust your wide receivers in making that catch. And Palmer made a heck of a catch on the sideline.
I still don't know how he got his foot down.
I don't either.
I still don't
know. I mean, it was a heck of a play. Like,
yeah.
Being able to turn your body like that is just super athletic. And a couple of my friends that either walked on or just around the team were saying that he's – the most athletic guy on the team. He just doesn't use it all the time. And we obviously saw how athletic he was to turn his body, situate it, and get that foot down, give us obviously the game-winning touchdown.
It's good to see him come on and be more consistent.
Absolutely.
Because you know what you have in your wide receivers 1 and 2 and Juwan and Callaway. But, man, just throwing Palmer in there, if he's able to make catches like that, that's just another weapon.
Oh, yeah.
That's just another great weapon for this run down here. I'll leave you with this in this first segment here. We talked a little bit about bowl projections yesterday. At 5-5, obviously you're still one win away from securing bowl eligibility. But the way that the national media is thinking in these predictions is that Tennessee, the way they've been playing this last month, they have a really, really good shot of getting at least 6 wins and going to a bowl game here. We talked a little bit yesterday. ESPN had different projections. I saw, you know, Gator Bowl playing Illinois. That was one playing Santa Lovie Smith.
Interesting.
Also playing Malcolm, wasn't one of the other Gator Bowl projections playing Iowa again?
Again. Same exact.
Feels like 2015, baby.
Literally. Literally. 5 years.
Feels like a botched kickoff return.
Wow.
Let him do it again. Let him do it again.
Please.
I mean, y'all know my most intriguing one versus the other UT.
Man,
I saw that.
Give me that today. Today.
Yeah, I'm riding with that.
I would love that.
I'll leave you with this one. There's a new batch today from USA Today. See who wrote this here. This is from Eric Smith of USA Today Sports here. He has in his projections, he's of course projecting every bowl game here. You go to, again, the Gator Bowl. Tennessee versus, y'all want to take a guess?
Michigan.
No. That was another projection,
by the
way. I
did see one of those the other day. So
that's one Justin wants. Justin wants nothing more than to beat the crap out of Harbaugh.
What conference are they in?
So here's the thing about the Gator Bowl. So, of course, it's SEC matchup every year as a tie-in. There's a lot of possibilities the Gator Bowl can go as far as conference tie-ins. So it says it right here, SEC versus Big Ten, ACC, or Notre Dame. That's the tie-in for the Gator Bowl. But I will make the guessing easier. It's a Big Ten team. It's not a team we've mentioned. I'll just say that. It's not a team we have mentioned.
Iowa State?
No, that's Big 12, by the way.
It sure is, because sure. Iowa, wow. Dummy, Malcolm.
You're okay. You're okay. Big Ten team.
Michigan State.
Think to the South. It's not Ohio State.
Indiana? They're not. Indiana?
Who's your daddy?
Oh, gosh. I do not want to see that.
Tennessee versus Indiana, who has been hot lately.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Is DeBoer still the offensive coordinator?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, man. DeBoer was that guy while he was here. I don't care, man. He did what he had to do.
Y'all know what DeBoer's last job was. I'll leave with this.
What was that?
He actually coached in the Alliance last year.
Did he?
Or,
really?
Or I say last year, I mean this year. He was the offensive coordinator for the San Diego Fleet.
Look at you, dialing it up anywhere.
I'm looking right, man.
That's what's up.
His Wikipedia coaching career, man, it's a journey if you ever want to go check that out.
Oh, it is a roadmap and then some. That's a journeyman.
CBS had Tennessee to the Liberty Bowl playing TCU. So
that was another one we mentioned yesterday.
Like that. Yeah. That'd be cool.
But as of today, a lot of Gator Bowl predictions and projections rolling in. For Tennessee to play in that one. But today, that's a new one, Indiana. I wouldn't want to see them. Give me Iowa. Give me Texas.
Give me Texas, because somebody's going to have a field day at quarterback.
And for just winning the game's sake, give me Illinois or TCU. Not to disrespect Illinois. I know they beat Wisconsin, but we should beat Illinois. I would hope.
Yeah.
I would hope.
100%.
We are up against it for hour number not hour number one, segment number one. We got a whole lot more time in hour one coming up here. We are going to stick with Tennessee football on the other side. Martin Nagy, friend of the station, Martin Nagy, he wrote this article today for Saturday Down South, the 5 biggest reasons that the Vols saved their season. We'll get into those when we come back. We also have Tennessee basketball to talk about. The Basket Vols are back in action tonight for game number 2 of the regular season. 9 o'clock tip-off for that one. Yikes.
Grandpa's going to be in bed.
It's a late, late ball night over at the Tommy Bowl. We'll touch on that, touch on college football in general, and a whole lot of other topics. If you would like to call the program to weigh in, just call the Next Door Home Group hotline. That's 865-546-8200. We're going to catch this first timeout. Back with more overtime after this.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping.
And I brought me some. I didn't have my headphones in for a minute, so I was like, I'm hearing somebody talk. And I put my headphones in. Oh, Steen Martin. R.I.P. to Dino. I mean, he's been dead for like 25 years, but still.
Shout out to Justin for the drop. Couldn't have been more timely.
I did not think we would be playing this unironically November 12th.
November 12th.
Man. I get that people start listening to Christmas music at the start of November now.
Yeah.
I started listening to some today.
Okay.
I feel like I need to on the way home because of the snow, though. I feel like I need to. I feel like it kind of justifies it a little bit, don't y'all think?
Yeah.
I think that's a little fair, though. But I tell you something else. So it might be cold outside, but I'll tell you who's bringing the heat.
Who is that?
That's Moose. That's Coach Brian Niedermeyer. He's really good at Twitter. He doesn't tweet a lot because obviously he's in the middle of the season right now. When he does tweet, it is gold. And also, for all you fans of the Tennessee-Kentucky beer barrel, oh, this is a little treat. So how about this? 2 hours ago, Moose tweets out, had to stop by the office before getting out on the road recruiting, making sure everything was right where it was supposed to be. Hashtag Vols by 90. Hashtag Go Big Orange. And it's just a picture of Coach Niedermeyer at his desk. By the way, if you zoom in on his laptop, he is looking at 247 recruiting. I don't think he needs to look that up. I think he has like a whole database.
Probably like a whole web on the wall, like with like push pins and rubber bands.
Everyone from, yeah, it's like Pepe Silvia and Always Sunny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got everybody from your 2020 recruits all the way up to like seventh graders probably. And
that's crazy.
But the big point here is, though, on his desk sits the beer barrel.
Dude is an icon.
So, A, it still exists. We actually still have it, in case anyone still doubted that. And Niedermeyer said, let me just place it right there. Do you think he's trying to flip somebody from Kentucky?
He's either trying to flip somebody or he's just trying to play pranks.
Or trying to sway Tyler Barron, of course, because Tyler Barron, the Knoxville Catholic defensive lineman, he was, in fact, up in Lexington for his official visit Saturday.
Really? Oh, really?
I bet that had to be very
fun. I think he tweeted on Sunday, it might have been, that he made his mind up. So we'll probably hear about that soon.
Probably.
His top three is what, Ohio State, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Yep. That's a really good top three.
High four-star recruit.
Yeah.
He played at Innsworth, covered them, covered okay. him for a few years.
Need to start getting these Knoxville kids.
Have to, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe that's Moose trying to subtweet a little bit.
Yeah.
But man, shout out to Moose. Shout out to Niedermeyer. I love that man. National Recruiter of the Year.
There's not lifetime contracts, but man, he would be first in line.
Easily.
He is such a Vol. You know what I'm saying?
And
like he gets it.
And you never have to pay like a lot for him as long as he's a tight ends coach. Now you pay him a lot for his position because of what he does on the recruiting trail. But yeah, I would love to keep him forever pretty much. Is that too much to ask for? Forever? Eternity? It's a little
keep
too
him.
Much.
As long as Pruitt's here, keep him.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Seriously. He is a valuable part of the staff. Has to be.
Well, guys, sticking on football, I mentioned before the break that Mark Nagy, who is a friend of the station, writes for Saturday Down South, also does his main job for TDOT. He's out there having a busy day, I am sure, out on the salt trucks. But also has this article today for Saturday Down South, the five biggest reasons the surging Vols saved their season. Reason number one, while we continue to dunk on Kentucky. Number one, Kentucky is on the schedule.
True.
Facts.
Over the years, the Tennessee Volunteers have simply owned Kentucky, Nagy writes. They've now won 33 of the past 35 meetings. The Vols have won when Kentucky had a generational quarterback in Tim Couch. They won with fired coaches, Philip Fulmer in 2008. They won with interim head coaches, Jim Chaney. They won their only two overtime meetings in 07 and 09. From 96 to 2000, they won five games while never scoring less than 56 points.
Goodness gracious.
Anytime we need to get the mojo flowing in the middle of the season, Kentucky, you're always there for us. Shout out to Big Blue. Shout out to Big Blue for being there for us when we need an easy dub.
BBN, baby.
I will say that wasn't an easy dub we got, but we know it's a dub.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We look at Kentucky like Florida looks at us.
Which is so sad because it is. I couldn't think of a more accurate saying. You're right.
So that's why I'm not all in on Tennessee-Florida week when it rolls around a little bit, just because I know what they feel about us. But at least we have somebody to feel that way over.
I can't stand Florida. I'm sorry. I'll forever feel.
Oh, I'm always going to hate them too, but it's just like, ugh. I mean, what do you expect come game day? You know, it's like those Kentucky fans talking trash to Stetson and his brother and his friends. Like, what do you think's going to happen?
I feel that.
What do they think was going to happen? Number two here. Shout out to Stetson again, by the way. Went to Stetson's high school, Nashville Christian School. Of course, big Daniel Batuli. Because reason number two is Daniel Batuli's leadership. I'm running through, man, look at this season, some of his tackle stats. Team high 7 against Mississippi State, 15 against South Carolina, and again, 19 against Kentucky.
I knew he was going to have a field day once, like Bowden, and they were going to run that kind of style offense because we ran against that a lot in high school. So,
well, think about it, too. The Georgia Tech game 2 years ago.
23.
This man has had 41 tackles in 3 weeks. You know how crazy that is?
He's not even top 5 in the conference in tackles somehow.
Well, it's because he missed those 2 games.
Yeah, I keep remembering that.
Well, he's trying to make up for it. I think he's like, goodness.
Damn, he would have helped against Georgia State for sure. Because Kentucky ran the same stuff Georgia State was running.
And that did not work at all.
Mm-hmm. Number 3, Jim Chaney's adjustments. I mean, what? Over this last month, what do y'all think's been the better adjustments to see, defensive or offensive?
I mean, everybody's going to say defensive, but me, offensive, man. Chaney has done wonders. To have not one, not two, but 3 quarterbacks, and then Juwan, your game plan for all those men, it's been crazy to see him in his bag.
When to win the game in the ways we have the last couple weeks, it says in this article, I mean, we won because of the JG's arm on Saturday, but we beat Mississippi State because we had 200-plus rushing yards. So, I mean, Rabel, if some team stops or run or stops or pass, we're able to beat them in another way. So that's just showing how what Jim Chaney's brought to this team.
He's brought some different wrinkles in, too, that I've seen. Like, Georgia didn't have a lot of what Tennessee's shown this year.
When, like, the trick play that we ran on the goal line with Juwan throwing at the Pope, obviously is a little further throw, but still, I mean, it could have worked out.
Yeah, definitely, Stetson. I'm all for Chaney right now, man.
And piggybacking off of Jim Chaney and Juwan Jennings, number 4, Nagy writes, the Juwan Jennings experience. Talking about just the roller coaster career he has had from coming on, making some of the greatest plays in Tennessee history back-to-back weeks in 2016, out for the season after the first game in 2017, you know, being kicked off the team, coming back to the team, and now he's having his best season of his career thus far. And, of course, with that him getting recognition this week in the Biletnikoff voting, which Tennessee fans, fall Twitter.
We'll get him one vote.
I mean, good Lord. I mean, just coming through, crashing the site yesterday.
If I'm an NFL scout, I'm wondering, why does this fan base go so hard for Juwan Jennings? What does the kid have? So he might get one vote, but this is bringing a lot of juice his way.
100%.
Number 5, Mark Nagy writes in the 5 reasons that Tennessee has saved their season. Oh, I love this. The power of positivity. Makes me think of the New Day in WWE. They love the power of positivity. But he says it's funny how quickly things can turn when there's even a little bit of positivity. The Mississippi State win helped, but oddly enough, the 35-13 loss to Alabama might have gotten the good vibes going even more so. I mean, we felt it. We came in here that Monday almost like we won.
Yeah.
And we lost by 22. But it's just all about how it mentally impacted you. And it clearly worked that same way for the team. Wrapping up here, Nagy writes, after years of getting destroyed by the Crimson Tide, Tennessee showed that it wasn't going to surrender. They pulled a Winston Churchill. We shall never surrender. Never surrender. Since that evening in Tuscaloosa, the Vols haven't lost.
That's crazy.
Undefeated.
Never lost.
Never lost. Man, I love the positivity.
Oh, yeah, me too, always.
Never underestimate the power of positivity. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. So good stuff over there by Martin Nagy as well. I think we'll pick up on where you want to go next. I think we'll save college football talk for a little bit later. Let's get to Tennessee basketball real quick when we come back. Because the Vols are in action. 9 o'clock tip. Oh, late one again. But the Vols will be taking on Murray State. Oh, could you imagine if this game was last season? Actually, would have liked to see that.
Me too. I would love to see
that. With last year's roster going up against John Morant.
I mean, I think we'd barely win. It'd be in Tennessee, but we'd be entertained, I'll tell you that.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
But no Ja, but still, Murray State, formidable opponent. Formidable opponent for sure. Talk a little bit about Tennessee Murray State on the other side. If you would like to hop on the program, our number is 865-546-8200. It's 546-8200. That's the Next Door Home Group hotline. Catch you back after the break with more Overtime after this. In a freight out combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies, I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. This segment of Overtime is brought to you by Eli Corum and the Next Door Home Group with Keller Williams Realty. No gimmicks, just results. Eli Corum's team's been rated in the top 5% of realtors in the Knoxville market for the past 4 years. They're very straightforward and get the job done. With money left in your pocket, they will give you a fun, stress-free buying or selling experience because Eli Corum has a top-notch team and the most effective marketing programs in the real estate industry. Just give them a call at 865-233-9460. That's 233-9461. You can browse their listings at nextdoorhomes.com. Shout to them for sponsoring the phone lines here, the Next Door Home Group hotline, which you can reach by dialing 865-546-8200. As we switch gears for a hoop night, a ball night, 9 o'clock, I'll be in bed. Nah, I'll stay up watching it. I still have some energy.
Good.
It's fleeting. But I still have
some. Still got the juice.
I still got the juice for sure. Tennessee, after a week off, opened up their season with a win over UNC Asheville last week, facing the Murray State Racers at Thompson Bowling tonight. Murray State without the number two pick in the NBA draft this season, Ja Morant. Who was the other guy they lost that was also like a really good contributor?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
I'll look at Billy Wilford's article because he previewed Murray State. Did a really good job, by the way, over at fanrunradio.com. But step up in competition, Murray State obviously went to the NCAA tournament last year. And again, I will just have to say it again. They're not bringing back the exact same team, but however, this will be an upset-minded squad. Anything can happen early on in the college basketball season. We've seen some SEC teams fall victim early in the first week to some upsets. Alabama went down to Penn opening night. Sunday, oh my goodness, the top 10 Florida Gators. Woo! Woo! At home, they get pulverized by FSU 63-51.
Ew. After FSU getting beat to Pitt to start the year off too. So, nice.
Please let Florida be overrated. Please let them be so overrated. I would love nothing more. But SEC Network coverage of this game tonight. Vols, even in the double-digit victory last week, saw a lot that you need to work on. I think one of the, maybe if not issue number one, is going to be fixing the turnovers. Dropping those numbers down significantly. I'm talking especially when it comes to your two alpha dogs on the team, Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden, trying to do a little too much. Rick Barnes said as much post-game last week, specifically about Lamonte Turner fitting in this new role as the guy at the one here, trying to be not only the scorer that he's known for, but the facilitator as well. Doing a little too much. You also have to still figure out how you're going with this rotation, these new pieces, and who's giving you the most off the bench. Hey, I know a big positive last week as well. E. Ponce had a career night.
He did.
Last week. So you would like to see him do something similar tonight as well. What are y'all looking forward to the most tonight?
For me personally, I want to see how Lamonte responds. I want to see if he is able to do what Coach Barnes has set for him to do. And I know the turnovers were really, really sloppy last week. I want to see him, you know, we all know he's a big shot taker, big shot maker, defense kind of guy, but I want to see him facilitate this offense. I want to see him get as close to double-digit assists as possible. That's what I'd like to see out of Lamonte.
I want to see carefree basketball. I mean, with the game, you're obviously going to have turnovers, but we had a lot, and a lot of them were unforced, just bad passes. We're trying to fit stuff into a spot that probably wasn't going to be able to. I would just like to see just better, smarter decisions. And I think we'll see that with Lamonte and Bowden tonight, but I want to see that because I think if we do that, we control the game and ride into the Washington game this weekend with some momentum.
Justin, anything you want to see?
I think Bowden and Turner, between both of them, should have less than 10 turnovers, hopefully. I think that would be improvement from our first couple matchups we've had this year. And also, the other big thing for me is I hope that Josiah James can get more involved than he has been. Obviously, he's new to college basketball, and, you know, he's still got to learn Tennessee's offense. But, you know, he's supposed to be a guy that can, you know, go to the NBA next year. So hopefully we can crank up some offensive production from him in the coming weeks.
I'm most interested to look for what Josiah is going to bring tonight when it comes to players to watch for. Just piggybacking off of what you said, Justin, he has all that potential. He was even in some early 2020 mock drafts being projected as a late first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
His biggest thing, he has all the potential there. He has the athleticism there. You've seen it in these first two games, talking about UNC Asheville and even going back to your exhibition game against Eastern New Mexico. He has to start forcing himself to find his shot a little bit. Does he do great on everything else, trying to get teammates involved, and most certainly getting up to get boards? Absolutely. But you're going to need this guy to turn it on mentally when it comes to looking for his shot. And I would hope to see maybe some things drawn up for him tonight, to maybe to force his hand a little bit. So that's who I'm looking forward to most individually. But again, I'm going to be like everyone else when it comes to the team aspect. Take care of the ball.
That's what you have to
do. You don't have to be that high-flying offense that you were last year to where, hey, it don't matter. We give some points on the defensive end because we know we could easily drop 90 on people. That's not what you got this year. That is not what you have this year. So take care of the ball a little bit better tonight. I'm going over to Billy Wilford's game preview over at fanrunradio.com. Shout out to Billy, part of the 3 and Out crew. Here's some quick facts about Murray State as a team. So they've only played one game. They played Southern in their season opener. Murray State connected on 22 of 32 free throws for 31% of their points, so they were really good at attacking the basket, getting to the line. They were good at doing that last year as well. Let's see here. They got 55.1% of their points from inside the arc as well. It's only a one-game sample, but that did rank 10th in the nation as well. They're also very good at perimeter defense. Again, Billy prefaces this fact here because last season – their strength of schedule was in the 230s, but their three-point defense was tough. They ranked 4th in the nation last year, only gave up a shade under 29% from three. And they played pretty good defense from the perimeter against Southern as well. Again, small sample size this year, strength of schedule sample last year. You would expect them to really make it hard for guys like Lamonte Turner. And even like we saw last week, Devontae Gaines,
yeah.
Some people that are going to be looking for some threes. And Jordan Bowden, of course, it's going to make it a little tough for them as well. So that's from the team. Here's some players to look out for as well.
Again, this is over at fanrunradio.com. It's the front page here. Billy Wilford, looking at Murray State a little bit. So here's some players to keep in mind tonight. So you have KJ Williams, sophomore. He started 21 of 30 games last year, averaging 7.6 points per game, 4.7 rebounds, scored 15 points from 75% from the floor against Southern, got 11 rebounds as well. You have Anthony Smith, who is a fifth-year senior. He was out for most of the year last year, broke his ankle last year.
Brutal.
But he is back trying to be a contributor. He scored 10 points against Southern. And a last one to look at for here, you got Tevin Brown, the sophomore guard forward, third leading scorer on last year's squad at 11.8 points per game, 5 of 10 from the floor, 17 points against Southern, 2 of 6 from downtown as well. So much stiffer competition. Much stiffer competition than you had last week, as it's only going to get tougher. You open up with UNC Asheville, Murray State tonight, and then, of course, you have a top 20 team in Washington Saturday up in the 6. With Quad 8 Green. I'm so mad he got cleared.
I still can't believe
how
it.
How the hell did he get cleared?
I don't know. No clue.
Other quick facts before we move on. Let's see. You're currently Tennessee's an 11.5-point favorite tonight. You opened up a 12.5-point favorite. ESPN BPI matchup predictor, 80.1% chance that the Vols get the dub at home. Does 80.1 seem a little low to you?
Yeah. It does, but
I mean, 80.1's a lot, but
I mean,
it is college basketball.
It's college basketball. It's Murray State as well. You still don't know this team without Ja, so they're kind of riding on that wave. I think 11's about right, give or take.
And real quickly here before we hit this break, while I'm just looking at the ESPN info page here, according to Vivid Seats, you can get into tonight's game for as low as $1. A George
Uno.
Washington. Yeah, Uno. So just throwing it out there, if you're on the fence about going to that one tonight. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. That's a little bit about Tennessee-Murray State tonight. Hopefully Tennessee looks improved in a lot of areas. Hopefully they can cover that 11.5-point spread as well. That would be very nice, give them a lot of momentum going up to the Great White North on Saturday. You almost wish Kyle Alexander could play in that one. Go back home to Canada.
That'd be so cool.
You almost wish he had one more season. Just missed it. He just missed it. We're going to wrap up hour one of overtime when we come back here. You're listening to Fan Run Radio. Keep it right here.
Traditional marketing.
We are wrapping up hour one of overtime on your Tuesday. You know what time it is. You know what time it is. Do the honors, Malcolm Harris. Oh! Do the honors, Stetson. Come on. Ah, and an air slap from Justin. Yeah, look at that. This segment's brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Pick you up some Truly this week. If you ran out during the weekend, be sure to stop by any local grocer and pick you up some. 13 varieties to choose from. Pick you up the citrus pack, the tropical pack, the wild berry, the rosé as well. 100 calories in a 12-ounce can, less than 1 gram of sugar, less than 2 carbs. It is gluten-free, light, and refreshing. Goes down so easy, and it is so smooth. Drink what you truly want. I'm going to end hour one by giving the big old shout-out to Kelly Jolly Harper in the Tennessee Lady Vols. That's a big one last night. That was a big one last night they got.
It's a huge
up in
one,
South
man.
Bend.
Can't believe it.
Yep.
For Nia Davis. 33 points, 10 rebounds. That's the first Lady Vol to do that in a game against a ranked opponent since, well, the one and only Candace Parker.
That's pretty good company, man.
That's big numbers right there. Man, you love to see that. We don't talk a lot of Lady Vols here, but we had that one on in hour two of last night's show, and we were pretty impressed how they were controlling that first half, but we thought, now, this is a young squad. They did lose Zay Green for the season yesterday as well, so you didn't know how the team was taking that. Yes, Notre Dame lost all of their scoring basically from last season, but you thought, hey, that's a tough place to play up there in South Bend. You never know what's going to happen. They held on. They kept on the pressure. They controlled the pace of the game. They escaped Notre Dame 74-63 victors. Already a nice big-time win for Kelly Harper.
Already. It's been
game
great,
three.
Been a great first week, bro. Been a great first week. Man, they had over 25 more rebounds than Notre Dame.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing watching that game. It's like 53 rebounds.
Come on, man.
12 blocks, too. Gosh. They dominated.
Crazy thing is we had 28 turnovers to their 12. So
it was some sloppy
something to clean
points.
Up there, but we still managed to win kind of handily, even with that imbalance.
Good little win to start off the tenure for Coach Harper for sure. And I looked a little bit at the schedule coming up. You have so many winnable games before you have another big test. This one's going to be a home at least. You got Texas at home. Mm-hmm. You can win that one. If you can win this one last night on the road, you can take down Texas at home. And then after that, I think the next big, big tough one, they're going to have to go to Stanford next month. That's a little different animal than last night. Stanford, a top three team. But shout to Lady Vols. Shout to the Big Orange and the Baby Blue. I got to show some love right there. Yeah, you just love to see it. That's all there is to say. You just love to see it. Program's been in a little bit of a, I wouldn't say tailspin, but this is a program that's lost its direction a little bit.
100%.
From what was a decade ago. I hope Coach Harper is the one who can get turned around a little bit. That was a good little step last night, though. So, again, shout out to Lady Vols. Hour number one is in the books for this Tuesday edition of Overtime. Hour two is coming up on the other side. 865-546-8200 is your number to call the Nextdoor Home Group hotline. We're going to pick it back up with some college football talk, NFL, Monday Night Football last night in a very dramatic one. Going to touch a bunch of the bases when we come back. You're listening to Overtime. Keep it here on Fox Sports Knoxville.